Tama Waipara, who's the CEO and Executive Artistic Director of the Te Tairawhiti Arts Festival in Te Ranganui, Kiwa, on the line from there now. Kia ora, Tama.
Kia ora, it was Michael Stipe.
That's right.
Michael Stipe and Kate Pearson. It's funny because we were blasting B-52s in the office yesterday. Rome, I think it was, we were playing.
Yes, yep.
And when I say we, I was selfishly hogging the boombox.
Well, you're probably the boss, so you probably get first dibs, don't you?
Oh, no, I'm usually at the bottom of the ladder when it comes to to whānau decisions in the team. I'm regularly outvoted.
Did your heart sink, Tama, when you heard the news that Delta had got into the community in Tamaki Makaurau?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like everybody, you think you know this thing, but you don't. You know, we learnt all the tikanga, we practiced all the things to do, and then it mutated and it said, no, actually, those things don't work anymore. So I think my heart did sink a little, but probably just that sort of the great uncertainty that everyone is around the world coping with and trying to find solutions and make sense of it. So, yeah, although I have to say sometimes being in Turanganui Akiwa in Gisborne, you could be forgiven for forgetting, because we've been so far very lucky, touch wood, and I think this latest sort of round of things is, I just feel for Tamaki, I feel for the ones who are really wearing the brunt of it, and all those health workers, healthcare workers, people who are out, you know, vaccinating our people or trying their hardest to do the right thing. And yeah, I think it's a time to really be understanding of each other, or at least try.
In the midst of all that, why do you think that an arts festival is important to keep running?
Well, I think we saw last lockdown, or the first time we went into that space, how what people reach for in their time of need. You know, they're not, which is not to say that the creative world is the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, but I think our artistic expression is so central to our well-being as humans, our ability to connect with each other, to share space, to share stories, to cry, to laugh, to do it in ways that sort of does the hard work or the heavy lifting for us, so that we can kind of come into a space where those artistic expressions allow us to be who we are as people. And I think we were very lucky last year, because we were the first sort of multi-art form regional festival, certainly, to stand up post-lockdown. And in a year where we'd had funding cuts, we had, you know, shrunk the festival to 9 days from 17, we'd really kind of been quite purposeful in the scale of the offering, so that it wasn't too, you know, we weren't inviting risk by having these great big outdoor events. And yet, we had 6,000 people more come than the year previous. So we ended up with something like 19,000 people across the 9 day period. So I think we saw that need to find connection, albeit in safe ways, what is central to who we are as people and to our well-being.
Looking ahead to next month's festival, so perhaps Auckland will join us at level two. Maybe we'll even, the rest of the country might go to level one. But there's a pretty good chance we'll all be at level two. And now if I'm reading the new rules right, that means you'll be able to get maybe 100 people into a venue, including artists. I'll tell you what, when there was a level two situation in Wairarapa last year, Wellington, the country, I think it was, and just happened to be when I took my choir on a little tour across there, and it was kind of like, this is one way for a little choir like ours, which doesn't have a big name, to get sell-out performances, because, you know, if you had 50, you only had room for 50 people in the auditorium.
Well, I mean, it certainly has shone the light back on ourselves, I suppose, and right across the country. I think it's been amazing to see, you know, the rise of the stadium show of local bands. You know, I think of ones like LAB and 660 in particular, who perhaps were already at that kind of epic scale of concert, but something about the music of the time, the moment, and actually having a clear path to share that on a grand scale. I've loved seeing them elevated to a status in a place that perhaps, I don't know whether this is true, it's conjecture purely, but yeah, I think there are real benefits to actually realising the beauty of what we have at home. And I suppose for our festival, that's always been essential to our kind of DNA. We are based on a premise that says there's something special in the storytelling, in the stories themselves, but also in the way they're shaped, that is specific to this place. It has a physicality and a spirituality, I suppose, that is imbued by the landscape, that is imbued by the stories of the whenua. But I think what we've had to do with our approach this year, by splitting essentially our program in two, we have something that I'm referring to as maitata, maitapiti. Maitata being things that are near to us. And so October will be all about what's local, what's at home, albeit with a few little sprinklings and seasonings from, as you say, those who can safely travel. And then in February we'll be offering a maitapiti, which is celebrating all of those things that will have come from a further afield. And it will be very much led by music and centred around that. So with Hihi, which is our kind of te reo Māori operatic orchestral kapahaka extravaganza to kick the festival off, and then a stunning lineup. I mean, we've the regroup of shows that, you know, some things that couldn't go forward and the last few weeks of just scrambling to pull it all together, we've somehow ended up with, you know, Deepa Mahal, Louis Becker, Anna Coddington, Julia Deans, Troy Kingi, Tammy Nielsen, Ty McKeelan, Kirsten Tedipo, Raiha Moitara, all Jackie Clark, Rutine Spooner, in this sort of same sentence. Really, and it's you know, you've got Maisie Hika, Deborah Waikapo here, Edna Kōpū in Hihi, as well as those kaihaka as well, and it's just kind of, it's hugely exciting, I think. And I sort of said, I'm looking forward to putting my feet up and having a, you know, a cider in the sun in Tūranga come February, but I'm also really happy that actually our people here will have a space where they can come and be themselves, albeit mindful and observing the kind of the safeties and cautions of a COVID environment, certainly in a Delta environment. But yeah, it's not ideal to have to sort of carve things up in a way that maybe doesn't represent the full picture of what we were wanting to do with our festival. But in a way, we've ended up with something quite beautiful, and I'm really quite grateful to the artists. Of course, you know, have had to make huge adjustments themselves in order to be available for those new dates. So we're really lucky.
Because the other thing, in terms of October, most of the artists will be from your part of the world. Mm. And it's a little bit like a smaller version of what you were saying before, which is it was great that local New Zealand bands got that kind of big stadium rock experience here. And we realized, actually, local bands from out there are, can rock it just like anything from overseas. On a smaller scale, is it going to be a celebration next month of the talent within your own neighbourhood?
Absolutely, yeah. And interestingly, it's more centred around visual arts, because our region is particularly strong in that area. I mean, we've got something like 6 or 7 different galleries. And when you consider our population, it's sort of shocking, but it's also not, because the contemporary Māori art movement and actually not just contemporary, but that sort of unbroken legacy of creative genius is thriving and alive and well. And so we have our big installation, Te Ara Iwhiti, which is a collaboration with Angus Muir, who's a brilliant lighting designer, curated by Melanie Tangaire Baldwin, who also has a gallery called Hoya Gallery here in Tūranga, and 12 different artists who connect to the region, who have whakapapa here, who are based here, and mixed media. You know, there are sculptural installations, there are light works, there are woven creations, you've got people like Ron Te Kawa, who's known for his whakapapa quilts, doing these incredible sort of transformative light components with, you know, projection work and sound work. And then there's a beautiful kaupapa called Noise Vacancy, which is led by a group of local creatives, Nikki O'Connor, Katie Wallace, and Lina Marsh, who are all artists in their own right, who've created this collective and embraced and welcomed the entire community of creatives into it. And really sort of they're examining the relationship between abandoned spaces or spaces and the art and the story that can live inside it when it's invoked by a creative conversation. Last year for me, it was one of the highlights of the festival. It was very humble in many ways, but also quite extravagant in its ambition and in its creative potency. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then you've got, as I said, all of these other gallery works. We've got Gafu, which is Linda Chanwayil's piece about her whakapapa. And as a Chinese New Zealander, that has a particular resonance here in Tūranga. And I suppose an echo that's still present here. So I think some of these experiences, which, yeah, as you say, might have been swamped by the scale of the bigger offering, will definitely have a moment in the sun that is different this time. And I have to acknowledge the things we've lost by the nature of this mate urupa, mate kōrona. So there are works like the Haka Party Incident or Te Whike, which is Atamira Dance Company, Lip Sync Kani Kani and Tuakos by a brilliant young writer, Te Hua Manuka Luton Apirana, Double Bill, which was a couple of works by Pacific Dance Festival. Those are things that, for now, won't sit in October or in February, but those relationships are very active and alive, and we're just here. We're in touch and working in a way that respects their reality, which changes every day, and also obviously what we can ourselves do, given that, like all festivals, we contract and expand around the festival timeline itself. So it's exciting to sort of look at these two offerings, but it will be a big shift as well.
Tama, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ngā mihi ki a koe, rongo whakaata.
Kia koe hoki, Brian. Ka nui te mihi.
Ka kite. That's Tama Waipara. He is the CEO and Artistic Director of the Te Tai Rāwhiti Arts Festival in Tūranganui Akiwa, Gisborne. The local edition kicks off next month, and then there's another edition of it in February, which will go for more national talent. Local, by that I mean Tūranganui Akiwa, Gisborne. More national means the whole of Aotearoa. COVID permitting, fingers crossed, we'll be able to have a national gathering again together at a level 1 or even level 2 situation. But let's go for level 1A by then, by February.